Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways you can learn more about how we are church together. Take a look at your bulletin. There's a calendar and announcements in there. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any questions that you might have. We have a wonderful service this morning, and I do want to call your attention to the sacrament of communion that will be celebrated this morning by intinction. Communion here at GPC is open to all, so all are welcome to participate. There will be three stations available, one at that end of the communion table, one at that end of the communion table, and one right here. You'll move to the station that is nearest you. You'll take a piece of bread, dip it into the cup to receive the sacrament, and then return to your seats. I don't have any other announcements this morning, so let us now prepare our hearts and our minds, our entire selves, to worship God. able and able for the call to worship. Like a hungry crowd, like an anxious child, like a forlorn friend, like an agitated mob, like a refugee, like a joyous bride, like a newborn baby. Like pilgrims of old, here we reach out to grasp your hand, and here we meet you face to face.
Give us.
is saving all of us by divine grace, no exception. Good and bad, faithful and unfaithful, certain and uncertain, agitators and peacemakers, the strong and the weak, strugglers and the easygoing, however we are, whatever we do, we are all saved in spite of ourselves by the generous compassion that is at the heart of God. Thanks be to God.
Follow Christ.
faithful member of the church. So you know what that means? That means all of your wiggles, yep, and giggles, yes, and amens, all the ways in which you, yes, hands in the air, all the ways you think your wonderful God-made self, this congregation has promised to love and nurture from the time you're a very teeny tiny baby to when you're not so teeny tiny and get to go on your senior high work project, and even as you get very, very old, we continue to support one another, and that's what it means to be church. So, are we ready to celebrate a baptism, two baptisms this morning to get started? So, you guys are all going to stay right here, all right? I'll tell you when you can go back. And I am going to invite Frank Beechup, son of Frank and Elizabeth in Cardona, and Daniel James Trias, the second son of Daniel and Elena, to the font at this time. So come on down. All right. All right, come on. There we go. How you doing, buddy? And one's going to sleep. And I was the front row. And I was very, very, very honest. All the cries and the wiggles and the giggles, this is part of what we do. Friends, hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Obeying the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and confident of his promises, we baptize all those God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show us that we belong to God, that God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us all remember with joy that baptism is celebrated as a sacrament, and there is nothing quiet about it.
On behalf of the session, I present Frank Vito, son of Frank and Elizabeth in Cardona, and Daniel James Trias II, son of Daniel Trias and Elena Whitman, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Each other. Frank and Elizabeth, do you desire for Frank to be baptized? And Danielle and Elena, do you desire for DG to be baptized? And he didn't. Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and teach that faith to your children? Do you?
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Frank and Daniel by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? If so, please say, we do.
Frank and Elizabeth, Daniel and Elena, in presenting your children for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within this covenant, I ask you to reject sin, profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And do you trust him? Do you intend to show Frank and DJ his love, to be his disciples, to obey his word? Friends, let us pray. Oh God, our holy parent, we give thanks for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. as we baptize with water, baptize us in the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word and what we do be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your Spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life, and may all who splash and squawk in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. Daniel James Schreck, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These children of God are now received into the Holy Catholic Church. See the love that God has given us, that we should all be children of God. Because, friends, we are. Ready to pray? Let's pray. Almighty God, giver of life, you have called us by name and pledged your faithful love to us. We pray for your children, Frank and DJ. Watch over them. Guide them as they grow in your love and faith. Give them understanding and quick concern for neighbors. Help them to be true disciples of you, O God, who is baptized by his servant, who is our risen Lord. God of grace, we pray for these parents, Frank and Elizabeth, Dan and Elena. Help them to know you, to love you. God, as we live into these baptismal promises, may we continue to show your love and grace. Let us stand and sing now together. What song is that? working my way around, why don't I have Kay Harder? And if the participants, youth, and advisors come forward for the commissioning, because that'll be you in a few years.
Go on the work project. Please come forward.
Is he going on work projects then?
I don't think Mom would be happy about that.
And there are more, but they just aren't here this morning. They're getting ready to go this afternoon. Soon go to Camp Whitman to connect with other Christians and serve communities in rural New York. You'll work in many different churches and ministries and come back together at camp for worship and devotion each night. Together, you'll use your strength and determination to help build the kingdom of God. Will you pledge to be faithful workers, eager and willing to learn from the people you meet? If so, please say, we will. As you help build comfortable places for people to belong near Seneca Lake, you will also build relationships with each other, the people you serve, and the workers who will guide you. Will you seek to learn from each other, be patient, and open to God's Spirit in your time with each other? If so, please say we will. Advisors, will you serve with dedication and encouragement, supporting each other as together you become a mission team that reflects God's peace? If so, please say we will. You, will you respect your advisors as they work to care for you and support each other as you connect your hearts with God's kingdom, both on your trip and when you return home to Rochester? If so, please say we will. Congregation, will you pray for this mission team as they represent Gage Presbyterian Church and missions around Camp Whitman? And be ready to hear about their experiences when they return. If so, please say, we will. Let us pray. God, who journeys with us in all times and places, you were with our junior high team in July as they served your children here in Rochester. Help this group of youth and adults to find your Spirit already hard at work in rural New York. May they be filled with your energy and determination, so that they may be your humble servants and join in your mission. Keep them safe and in good health. Open them to the wonders of your love, so that they can share your kingdom-building peace with the people they meet. May your grace be with them, and may you bless this week of ministry. Amen. Have a
wonderful day. Welcome to go back to your seat. Thank you for being up here with us. And also a reminder for families that here at GPC we are welcoming of children of all their wiggles and giggles and squirms, but if at any point in time you just kind of need a break, there is a nursery down the hall with a wonderful staff child care provider. Let us continue our worship of God.
Speaking the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen.
And our second reading of the word today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send those crowds away so that they may go into villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." But they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides. Jesus came to this seemingly deserted place along the Sea of Galilee to get away from the tragic events of the day. So caught up in the excitement and wonder of a miracle, even the lectionary skips right over the verses that would make an excellent Game of Thrones episode, which may explain my interest in drawing attention to the larger context of the story this morning. It should come as no surprise to you that all was not well in first century Galilee, and by now, the crowds most certainly are aware of the news that brought Jesus to this place to begin with. What happened was King Herod, the Roman ruler of occupied Palestine, decided that his Roman palace was not quite fit for his fine taste. Rumor had it he may or may not have referred to it as a dump, but here in Palestine, he built a palace to suit his taste and affinity for recreational activities. He had fine taste, no doubt, made evident by the elaborate feasts he would host for himself and his cronies and the higher-ups in the religious elite of Israel. And other people may have attended his dinner as well, partially motivated by curiosity of how the other half lived, and other parts out of fear of what would happen if they did not attend. And their fears were realized at this particular feast where John the Baptist was beheaded at the whim of a dancing girl when she brought his head out to her mother on a platter. But it would be then the disciples who came for John's body. They buried him, and they were the ones who delivered the news to Jesus that the man who was his cousin, who baptized him, who devoted his life to preparing the way of the Lord, had been killed. As one commentator points out, this is a vivid reminder to Jesus and everyone else that God's prophets were not immune to death. That if anything else, they were more likely to die violently than quietly and sooner rather than later. So given the horrors of the day, it is quite understandable that Jesus would take just a bit of time to himself. The Sea of Galilee would be such a place where out on his boat, unbothered, Jesus could attend to his own needs inside. doubt they could empathize with Jesus having lost loved ones at the hands of those in power, but they were also sick and hungry. Food scarcity and hunger were more than just statistics. They were day-to-day realities for literally thousands upon thousands of people in this small region of the world. And sometimes we do tend to get a bit hung up on the numbers of the people fed in this story. Was it 4,000 or 5? What about the women and children? And now we're talking about enough people to fill a professional sports team. So when the night is falling, of course, the disciples get caught up in the numbers as they look out onto the crowds and cannot even imagine the logistics of trying to feed so many people. Setting up tables, pallets and pallets of bread and fish, the pushing and shoving, and what happens if it rains? I really don't believe the disciples meant any harm in wanting to send the crowds away. They were being practical. The carpet would get dirty, and the leftover food would create such a mess. Night was falling, and at the end of the long week, they were just ready to build a campfire, keep a bit of food there. And their suggestion was simply, everyone else should do the same. But Jesus had a different idea. He looked around, and he knew there was nowhere for all these people to go. Having stood there just a few months ago, this story really resonated with me, with the Sea of Galilee to my back, and I'm looking out, and thousands of years later going, where did the disciples think the people were going to go? There are hillsides, and tucked in the midst of the just small nooks and crannies, little itty-bitty villages. If we're talking about feeding thousands upon thousands of people, we're talking at least half day's walk, if not further. And it was dark. They were here. They didn't need to go away. You give them something to eat, Jesus tells the disciples. And you just want to be there so you could see their faces when Jesus said that to them. That shocked look of disbelief. Going down the mental checklist of all the reasons that was not going to be a good idea. Not enough food, too many people, not enough of them. The need was just too great, and their meager efforts weren't going to cut it to make even a small impact. Jesus says, enough already. You give them something. Here, of course, is where we get mesmerized by the miracle, and we lose sight of it, of our own responsibility, the disciples' responsibility in everything that is happening here. Barbara Brown Taylor points out that miracles tend to let us off the hook. They appeal to that part of us that is all too happy to let God feed the crowd, save the world, do it all. What we have to offer is not enough to make any difference. So we'll just hold back. We'll wait for the miracle, looking after our own needs and looking for God to help those who cannot help themselves. A recent poll from the Washington Post and the Kaiser Family Foundation found that is pretty true. Nearly half of all Christians today believe that people are poor and hungry because of their own lack of effort. If we really believe that the poor are poor because it is their fault, then maybe Jesus would have had different words. Don't worry about it, disciples. We got it covered. Send those crowds away into the villages. They'll find food, I'm sure. Jesus says, looking for someone else to solve the problems. Stop pretending there isn't enough. Share what you have. Stop waiting for that miracle and participate in one instead. As a pastor, it's a very common question that I receive. How come miracles don't happen like they did in the Bible today? Thought about what happened here on Friday night. When the pallets and pallets of food were being unloaded from the food link truck, just when we thought that there was no more room, more bananas and yogurts appeared. Twice this summer, our church has served as a food link distribution site for hungry crowds. We are far from a deserted place here in Gates. But did you know that just the two times that we've done this, we are the only mobile food pantry site in Gates? Here in the pouring rain, dedicated volunteers, including many of our kids, snapped on gloves and jumped right into the middle of the action. Most of the leaders were the kids. Because unlike some of us adults, myself included, I had never volunteered at a mobile food pantry site before. But our kids have. Junior high work projects at Calvary St. Andrews and Trinity Emmanuel. So we adults learn from their experiences. This is one of the beauties church, of living into these baptismal promises we just made for these two children, and then reaffirmed as we commission our senior highs as they go out and serve in the community. We show up, even in the pouring rain, serve alongside one another. We have an opportunity to participate in the ongoing that are happening all around. May it be so now and always. Amen. Friends, our next hymn together, for everyone born, we are going to sing the first and fifth verse. So verses 1 and 5. Thank you. sense, the one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are, however you feel, whatever reasons you are here today, come to this feast. Whatever your condition, your brokenness, the hurts you bear, know that our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. Eyes were opened. They recognized him. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and good and joyful, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image, envisioning us to live in relationship with all creation and with you. We saw a different way, and instead we went after worthless things and went as far from you as we could, even though you brought us back time and time again, we chose to see ourselves at the center of the world. So we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest. Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever. Out of nothing, God of mercy, you made your creation, and out of slavery and wilderness, you called your chosen people. Out of flesh and blood and dust and ashes, you summon us to be your church. Send your Holy Spirit upon us now, that we may become holy even as you are. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may transform our hearts and minds and souls and voices. Through Christ, glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit and your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. Now, friends, we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those he gathered, brought those friends around a table similar to this one. He did so on the night before he gave himself to authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took common bread and he made it holy. Just he takes common people, like each of us, and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread. He poured it
so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance." Break the bread and drink from the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the promises of new life and faith to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. This table is open to all who wish to celebrate. The communion servers would come forward at this time. Once they're in place, I'll signify and everyone go to wherever is closest, and then receive the sacrament, return to you.
Thank you.
our lives to be bearers of grace wherever we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
And as we gather around this table, we bring all of who we are. We bring the joys and the concerns on our hearts, and we lift them to God, and we share them with one another. In prayer, if you have a prayer concern you'd like to share, raise your hand. Make sure the mic is close to your mouth. Stand if you want. You don't have to. But we'll keep them short today.
Good morning. Keisha Binkle. I have a dear friend of mine. Her name is Kitty. She has finished chemotherapy for breast cancer, and on Monday she starts a long month of radiation. So prayers for Kitty. Thank you.
Prayers for Katie.
A few weeks ago I talked about a friend of mine, 11-year-old daughter, who had cancer. She had her kidney removed, and they're doing radiation for treatment. The outlook is good. 11-year-old can hardly keep it up. So please keep on a prayer.
And also prayers, not seeing any other hands, prayers for the family of Marge Hubbard, who died this week. Information about her funeral is in her bulletin. Let us continue our time of prayer. Loving God, as a mother tenderly gathers her children and as a father joyfully welcomes his own, so in the compassion of Jesus, you nurture and nourish us, feed us, and heal us. We pray for those who are physically hungry, whose stomachs are empty. We think especially of the people in Yemen and Eastern Africa who are facing critical food shortages, who are suffering the effects of malnutrition and starvation. We pray for those who are emotionally empty, those who are lonely and long for companionship and love, who are caught in the grip of depression and overwhelmed with grief. God, we have brought our prayers before you for those near and dear to us seeking healing and hope for them. Let us also remember that those same mercies are lavished upon us, not because we deserve them, but because of your great and generous love for us. Help us receive these blessings and in turn be a blessing to someone else. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we give, celebrating all of the ways that God is so generous to each and every one of us. We continue our time of worship by receiving the morning offering.
God, thank you for all of the gifts you have given us. Help us to go out into the world and to share those gifts with all of our friends and families and those we don't know, those in need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen.
What you can't see up here is DJ keeps reaching back towards the font, wanting to splash and play in God's waters. God, may that be so for all of us, with a longing and desire in our hearts to splash in the grace and mercy of God, our Creator, in the grace and sustaining love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, held up. The courage of the Holy Spirit, because that's what it takes to get up and to do it again each and every day. Alleluia. Amen.